The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter nor the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It is also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you owe.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, my homily is not as long as that. I wanted that reading because I want to touch on almost all of that. But for years, there were these two partners, and they enjoyed a thriving butcher business. And one of them got religion. And enthusiastically, he hassled the other owner to join him. But his partner declined, saying, "Look, if I get religion, to who's gonna weigh the meat? No, I'm not singling out any culture or group of people here. But in some cultures, cheating is an accepted standard practice. Mostly Catholic countries, but it's considered to be clever entrepreneurialism. Caveat emptor. Have you ever heard that expression? Let the buyer beware. You never heard that? Well, that's what caveat emptor means. You got to have your Latin, go back to your Latin class. Anyhow, this warning is hardly the basis for a trustworthy society. So laws are designed to dissuade cheating hearts. That's why we have laws. Only to break. Especially driving laws. But anyhow, I won't get into that. But while legislation can punish, it cannot correct. And even though our swelling prisons, and they're getting bigger and bigger, are euphemistically now called what? Houses of correction. Yeah, right. Something else is needed here. Law is not enough to promote the social order. It's not. So Jesus has something else in mind about this problem in the gospel today. He objected not only to murder, but also to the anger that provoked the murder. He deployed the willy-nilly divorce laws of his time. In that patriarchal society, males had all the legal privileges, all of them, and women had none. Sounds like the church today, but a husband could divorce his wife for spoiling the soup or criticizing her in-laws. No questions asked. You got the divorce. Jesus also denounced swearing. Not the crude descriptive phrases that we use. I don't use, but you probably do. Not that kind of swearing, but frivolous oaths like on my mother's grave or my lips to God's ears, you know, etc. That trivializes the sacred. It trivializes the sacred. Jesus was well aware of the intent to trick and to con that these extravagant gestures implied. He said, talk straight. Yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no, and that's enough. No more than that. Yeah? If you mean it, that's enough. If you don't mean it, then a stack of Bibles doesn't matter. That won't be enough. So the radical surgery Jesus recommends, such as plucking out the eyes, that's in that language that he uses there. You know, some people have taken that literally and done that stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's typical apocalyptic language of the day that was employed in order to make a point. It's hyperbole, in which it's not to be taken literally. It's to be taken as literally as when we exasperatingly say to someone who's bothering the bejesus out of us, if you don't stop it, I'm going to... You can fill in the rest of it. The point Jesus emphasizes is the decisive action that is demanded of us to rid ourselves of whatever defiles us. Whatever defiles you, do something about it. And for Jesus, laws weren't simply enough. You see, he lived in a religious culture that prided itself on rigid compliance with the revered laws of Moses. And the minutest regulations were accorded absurd deferential respect. I mean, dressing a wound and setting a fracture was unlawful labor under the law for the Sabbath. You couldn't do that. And then in later age, fixing one's false teeth was ritually illegal. Jesus apparently scandalized the religious leadership of his day by his total disregard for ceremonial rituals and minutiae during ceremonies. So I just wonder, I wonder what he would think about the church's liturgical rubrics and practices of the church. Being Dominican trained and all that, we didn't really pay attention to the rubrics and to the laws of liturgy. But some people are very straight liturgical people. The law, you know, how many people remember Auntie Mame? That movie? Anybody that's over 70 remembers Auntie Mame. Mame, yeah? So Jesus saw life, to echo Auntie Mame, as a banquet. Life is a banquet to be enjoyed, not an ostentatious display of meaningless etiquette. His priority was human beings. Not the law, but human beings was what counted. The law was meant to promote and to protect basic human rights and basic human needs. That's what laws are for. The law was meant to promote those things. Laws that ignored this, he didn't take seriously. And I would say, don't take it seriously either. He valued compassion over compliance. I have come, he said, so that you may have life and have it in its abundance. He didn't say, I have come to give you more laws and more religion. Churches need to be wary of the rules they impose, since heedful consciences can be unnecessarily hurt. You know, believe it or not, orthodoxy can miss the mark. The hierarchical, patriarchal institution that we are all part of, is in constant need of reform. The pre-Vatican Church, some of you remember, Fridays, hamburger, model sin, you going you know where, you ate that hamburger, but I tell you, it tasted really good, didn't it? It really did. But, you know, you couldn't eat a hamburger, but you could go out for Maine lobster, you know, get twin lobsters, and you know, or go, I don't know what you eat, Alaskan king crab legs, I don't know. You could go and you could expend, my parents used to go out and have a nice dinner every Friday night at a restaurant with friends of theirs. I mean, how far such rules are, from common sense. The common sense that was Jesus' specialty. It was his specialty. As my mother always used to remind us kids, common sense is not too common. Always said that to us. You know, in the end, Jesus taught that good preempted right. Stopping for a red light is the legal thing to do. But if you got somebody who's dying in the car, going through that red light to the emergency room is the right thing to do. is the good thing to do. Supporting capital punishment may be the legal thing, but protesting it is a good thing and the right thing. Law and Order is one of my all-time favorite TV shows. I think I've seen every single one of them. And the new ones, too. But, you know, and Law and Order certainly beats lack of social and ethical standards, right? Law and Order sure beats the hell out of lawlessness. But isn't it, I think when I was doing this, ironic that it's the Law and Order people who killed Jesus? My friends, in the end, Jesus calls us Christians to have the highest moral standard. But Jesus did not give us any specific teaching about what love requires in any particular situation. He left it up to us. Jesus wants us to be responsible for our own moral decisions. And those moral decisions must be made always in the spirit of self-giving love. In self-giving love. Our love, he tells us, and he shows us, must be like God's love. It must be limitless. It must be non-controlling. And it must be all-inclusive.